The word of God we'll focus on today is the gospel from Matthew 18. Let's begin with prayer. Jesus, refuge of the weary, blessed Redeemer whom we love, fountain in life's desert dreary, Savior from the world above, oh, how oft your eyes, offended, gaze upon a sinner's fall. Yet upon the cross extended, you endured the pain of all. Amen. How can I forgive you? It's the question the middle school girl asks, if only in her own mind, of her classmates who treat her like an outsider and whisper behind her back every day. How can I forgive you? It's the question the middle-aged woman asks, if only in her own mind, of her sister who for years has abused and mistreated her, never apologizing. How can I forgive you? It's the question a child asks of their father whose years of neglect or verbal abuse have left them wondering, does God even love me at all? Does my father love me? How can I forgive you? It's the question on a wife's mind as she watches her husband walk out the door, leaving a trail of wreckage behind in a divorce. It's the question on a husband's mind as his wife gets home late and offers the same lies and excuses. It's the question that each one of us has asked, or at least thought in our own minds, when the people who are closest to us have hurt us so deeply. So deeply that we think, am I ever going to recover? How can I forgive you? God's word has something to say about forgiveness today in our sermon text. But before we look at that text from Matthew 18, it would probably be good to define what we mean by forgiveness. Or better yet, what God means by forgiveness. The word used for forgive in the Greek New Testament, and here in our text, is a word that means to lift something away, to release something. Forgiveness means letting go. But already, even with such a simple definition in our minds, the questions come flooding back. Let it go? How am I supposed to let it go, God, after what he said? How am I supposed to let it go after what she did to me all these years? Let it go? Are you telling me that I'm supposed to just treat them like nothing ever happened? That I should just overlook what they did and say that it was okay? Well, no, that's not what God is saying about forgiveness. The very fact that we're talking about forgiveness demonstrates that something very wrong has happened to you. The very fact that forgiveness is on the table means that you were hurt. And that it was wrong. Forgiveness acknowledges all those things, but then chooses to release the person anyways. Forgiveness lets go of the right to get angry, the right to get even, the right to seek revenge, the right to condemn. Easier said than done. When I was a kid, I once did a very stupid thing. I took a butter knife and I stuck it in an electric outlet. I told you it was stupid. None of you kids ever do this. It's bad idea. I thought in my mind, I don't remember how old I was, maybe 5 or so, I thought, well, I want to see what this feels like. And if it hurts, I'll just let go of the knife. No big deal. Many of you know why that's such a foolish thing to think, though. If you're holding on to a piece of metal with electric currency running through it, you can't let go. Your muscles contract, your hand would clench down on it, and eventually it would kill you. I was very fortunate to have a friend who quickly knocked me away from the wall. Otherwise, things could have been much worse. But for a brief moment, I understood what it was like to hold on to something and to know that it was going to kill you, but to feel like there was no possible way I could let go. Do you hold on to hurts, to wrongs, and just feel like there is no way I can let this go? Do you have a running list in your mind of the ways that a particular person has wronged you? Do you feel like that letting go of those things is an impossible task, that it's impossible to forgive? Maybe you find yourself in the Apostle Peter's shoes, standing in front of Jesus as he talks about forgiveness and asking him, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? Maybe if I just knew the limits of forgiveness, then it wouldn't be so hard. But then Jesus responds with, no, Peter, 77 times. And Jesus isn't setting just a higher cap on forgiveness. He's not teaching an arithmetic lesson here. He's using a play on words to demonstrate what God says so clearly in Scripture. Forgiveness has no limits. Because forgiveness is governed by love. And as God tells us, love keeps no record of wrongs. Maybe after hearing Jesus' answer to this question, though, Peter felt like Jesus was asking something that was just not possible. Maybe that's how you feel. Forgive someone 77 times? Are you kidding me? I couldn't even do 7. 1 time is enough. You know, someone wrongs me once and I have this voice welling up inside of me and sidestepping Jesus' words and crying out, but he said this, Lord. She said that. They did this to me again. How could I possibly let that go? And in response to such thoughts, Jesus would answer with a story. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents, millions and millions of dollars in our money today, was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything, as if he ever could. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, a few months' wages. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. The point of the story seems clear enough, does it not? God is the master. We are the servant. We have a debt of sin so large we could never possibly repay it. God canceled that debt. And so now we should go out and cancel the debts of others, forgive the sins committed against us. But Lord, I can't, our sinful nature objects. But Jesus isn't done with the story just yet. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, Jesus says, unless you forgive your brother from your heart. So is Jesus telling us that if we fail to forgive our brother from our heart, we're going to end up in some eternal debtor's prison? That if we hold a grudge, we're going to suffer the punishment of hell? Yes, that's exactly what he's telling us. That's exactly what he's telling you. That's what he's telling me. To be forgiven and to be unwilling to forgive others are two things that cannot coexist in the heart of a Christian. If a forgiven sinner holds on to the anger and the bitterness, if they are unwilling to forgive, if they have a desire to withhold mercy and to seek revenge, it demonstrates that living in their heart is very little appreciation for the debt God has canceled for them. And in seeking to enact justice and retribution, all they really do is put themselves under the judgment and justice of a holy God. Yikes. I mean, where does that leave people like you and me? People who are so prone to anger and vengeance, people who are so unwilling to forgive. Well, it leaves us in the shoes of that unmerciful servant. Not at the end of the story, though, but back at the beginning. We stand before the throne of God with this exhaustive list of sins. Yes, the lies and the lust and the laziness and the gossip and the greed and the anger, all the dark and wicked thoughts and words and deeds that spring from our heart. But then piled on top of all those things is our inexplicable, inexcusable unwillingness to forgive. And God looks over this record of wrongs and he looks at us and he says, I forgive your debt. I release you. But why? But how? I mean, how do we end up there again at the beginning of the story instead of at the end? We've been there so many times before God's throne of grace, and yet we fail to go and show grace to others in our lives. Why doesn't God just lock us up and throw away the key? Well, the answer comes from the man who told this story to Peter so long ago, who tells it to us today, and who rejoices and longs to tell it to you again and again. How can I forgive you? When God asks that question, Jesus steps into view, and he answers it. Jesus steps not only into view, but he stepped into our shoes. He took our debt on himself. The most perfect person to ever live, the Son of God himself, he took our debt of sin and he suffered for it. The most unimaginable cruelty. He was laughed at, he was beaten and scourged and nailed to a cross. And as he was lifted up from the earth and that cross set in place, he did what we could never do. He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. How can I forgive you? When God asks that question of us, he finds the answer in his Son. And when we ask that question of others in our lives, how can I forgive you? We find the answer in the same place. We find the answer in Jesus. Because in Jesus, we find the answer to the unending cycle of hurts and wrongs that we inflict on one another and on God. When we look at Jesus and see what happened to him, we find the answer for not only our debt of sin, but for the one who's wronged us as well. Because what we see in Jesus is someone who is willing to go to the cross, to take the punishment, to have God's wrath over sin poured out on his sacred head, piercing his soul to the core. Look at Jesus on that cross and hear him say, it is finished. Hear him say, Father, it's paid. The debt is paid. It's paid for all of them. It's paid in full. When you think of your forgiveness, your own personal forgiveness as a small thing, well, then you'll never have the power to forgive the people who have wronged you. But when you remember what Jesus did in wiping clean an eternal debt you never could have paid by washing the slate clean with his own blood, well then the floodgates of forgiveness will be opened in your heart. And new things you never thought were possible, will begin to happen. You'll bring forth fruits of forgiveness as you forgive others. because your heart has been changed by the God who forgives sins in Christ. In Christ, all the bitterness, all the anger, all the rage, all of it has been lifted away. You are free. And now you're free to release others. Forgiveness can certainly be hard, and especially when you look at the people who've wronged you and you look at the things they've done to you. But my encouragement to you as you leave here today would be to allow your Savior to turn your gaze away from the people who've wronged you, away from the history of hurts and wrongs, and instead to look and look and look at Jesus and what he was willing to do for you. And seeing that kind of love and mercy, God will change your heart into a heart like his, a heart that is always willing to forgive. Amen.